The style of political speech in America ranges from the somber, credible voice of a candidate, the heroic cadence of the patriotic voiceover, to the hysterical shriek of the negative ad.
Want to know just how out of touch Harry Reid is? Spending $787 billion on a stimulus that failed is a start.
Is this the change Americans voted for in 2008? Today our children are saddled with record debt. Two of every $5 we spend is borrowed from creditors.
People don't like political ads. I don't like them either. But healthcare isn't about politics. It's about people. It's not about a website that doesn't work. It's not about poll numbers or approval ratings. It's about people. And millions of people have lost their health insurance.
What if technology could find a way to customize all those campaign ads so that the most credible voices in your life were delivering the messages? Say, an ad in the voice of your mother, your dad, different for each voter. Well, that technology is coming, folks. And political parties are already experimenting with ways of dressing up campaign ads as fake news, mimicking the look and feel of legitimate news sites to make their messages stick. The National Republican Campaign Committee has developed a series of websites designed to look like local news outlets, with names like Central Valley Update. The articles are critical of a candidate's record, but scroll to the bottom of the ad and you see the disclaimer paid for by the National Republican Campaign Committee. Joining us is Kathleen Hall Jamison, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Kathleen, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Good to be with you.
Is the news site online a kind of a generic image, and that's a sort of a dangerous thing in a campaign?
The fact that news retains credibility means that when you see something that looks like news and you start to process it, you're more likely to be susceptible to the content. These fake websites actually aren't looking like traditional news sites. They're looking like fact-checking sites. And you know, I manage factcheck.org. I'm really aware of the extent to which this is mimicking a form that the fact-checking sites have pioneered. And so when you look at it, you don't think I'm seeing the New York Times. It doesn't have the whole structure that looks like the front page of a paper. When I pick up my New York Times on my iPad, it looks like I've gotten to a fact-checking site.
And in the case of audio ads, where there's a disclaimer at the very end that's often in very, very fast speech, does the fine print at the bottom of some of these web ads that suggests it is, in fact, a commercial, is that enough to tell people that, in fact, it's propaganda and not actual news?
If you go that far down into it, but the likelihood that you realize it's not news is pretty high as of about the second paragraph. The form, however, looks as if it's news-like. So the headline reads as a news-like headline. The basic form structure on the web looks like news. You'll realize by the third paragraph that this is one-sided and hence not news. So you won't need to get to the disclaimer to know that. But by then, someone who has been seeking information has picked up some information hostile to a candidate. The person might not otherwise have picked up, and that's a very effective communication strategy.
Do these work the same way negative ads work that use newspaper headlines that fly across the screen?
In some ways, these are more insidious because you know that when something occurs in the block of time in broadcast that abuts a program, that it's an ad. Even if it looks news-like, you still at some level know it's an ad. But when you've been seeking content on the web, you don't make that distinction between ad and news when something pops up as readily. And so there is basically the same impulse to treat this as news that you would have if you found an actual news site, less so when you see this as an ad bracketed in ad space in television or cable.
Now, the First Amendment and regulations surrounding speech tends to protect news and information as text, but there's nothing particularly sacrosanct about sounding like Al Roker or sounding like Brian Williams or sounding like Scott Pelley. If people come up with voices that imitate news anchors that are familiar, there's no regulatory redress for something like that, is there?
No, not within the political structure that I know of. And the reason that you have the voice in political advertising in what I've always called the news ad, because they're ads that are mimicking news, the reason that voice sounds so much like the generic news announcer voice is that the audience has built up over time a sense that that is the voice that carries credibility. And so we've had this as a manipulative strategy there for a very long time. It's not that that's news. It's the migration of that into a web structure when you are actively seeking information that is new here.
Have you checked out North County Update or Central Valley Update, the specific articles that were discovered here?
Yes, and they're set up to look like fact-checking sites. The headline looks neutral. The form looks neutral. They are bylined. It's not until you get into the second and third paragraph that you realize, no, this doesn't follow the journalistic form of evaluation of a claim. This is advocacy.
And so for factcheck.org, you're going to have to change your font. You're going to have to change your colors. You're going to have to put a big sign, accept no substitutes. How does it work for you?
No, we're going to assume that we have branded our site clearly enough across a long enough period of time and that the name is well enough known that when you come to it, you'll know that you found us. What we hope that we will be able to say through journalistic outlets such as yours is, if you see something now that's labeled Uptake, be suspicious of that. That probably is a brand that says Republican Campaign Committee.
But there's nothing preventing the Republicans or the Democrats from putting up pretty clear politics or, imitating Nate Silver and putting up different sorts of numbers that might confuse people as to where the campaign stands.
No, they're not. And what they're attempting to do is pretend that they're a local fact-checking site. And so the branding is to a city, a county, a locale within the state or within the district that they're propagandizing in. And the assumption that you're supposed to bring to it if they succeed is that you've just found something that is a real fact-checking site, not a fake fact-checking site, and is tied to local journalism. And the towns or the cities, the states that are being identified also have news outlets that have at least part of that name. So right now the key is if it says Uptake, beware.
Is this a tactic likely to be used right before polling in an election, or is this something we're going to just see throughout the campaign?
I think you're going to see this throughout the campaign unless the practice is discredited. And to the extent that it mimics journalism effectively, it's likely to persevere simply because when you're seeking information and you're only getting the ad link from Google when you're seeking information, you are, one, a likely voter, and two, someone at that moment who is susceptible to communication. And as a result, this is a very efficient use of communication time. If you can get the person to read any of it, you've accomplished something at very low cost.
Kathleen Hall Jamison, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.